This is The Record on KUOW 94.9 Seattle News and Information. I'm Bill Radke. You have an opinion about Donald Trump, but do you understand him? Mike Daisy says he does. Daisy has put on one-person shows from Seattle, where he used to live, to New York, where he lives now. You might know him for his shows about Apple and Steve Jobs, or his show about working at Amazon. His latest show is called The Trump Card. It's playing tomorrow night at Seattle's Neptune Theater, and in it, Daisy tells us why he understands Trump so well.
Because he's a performer. Because he's a performer, and I'm a performer. And he uses those tools of working with an audience in the same way that I do, to different ends. But the tool set is the same.
So as a pro, how good a performer is Donald Trump?
He's very, very good. He's excellent. Because he's extremely good at being himself. He plays the role of Donald Trump beautifully, even when he's being ridiculous and bombastic and incompetent. He's fully himself. You know, like if he was in an acting class, we would say that he was very present. Like you very much feel that he's present when he's speaking to you in a way that you don't with most politicians, generally because politicians are thinking about their responsibilities to constituents and they don't want to say the wrong thing. Donald Trump has pried all the filters off of his id to ensure that he says whatever has come directly into his mind. And that might not be good for politics or running a country, but it is fantastic for performance.
So he's just id, or does he also, are you a magician who can tell us how the magician does the trick?
Well, there are many tricks. I mean, like the whole thing about being a magician is a series of tricks, you know, like because he is a performer and he's in this realm of the political, he's able, for instance, to switch topics 6 or 7 times a sentence. Donald Trump regularly says things that begin with him asserting that things are completely in one direction and they end with him asserting their other direction, and in between touches on every possible point, which leaves people who are responding to him in interview situations dumbfounded.
Why would that be a good thing to have somebody contradict himself in a sentence?
No. You're not contradicting himself. Contradicting yourself would require you to have disagreement about what's going on. In each moment that Donald Trump says something, he believes it completely. Like a very classic Donald Trump thing to say is to say he makes an assertion of some massive kind, like the one he made on Meet the Press, where he talked about how the people in Syria have weapons because Hillary has given them weapons. And the poor interviewer is thinking, I didn't hear that, so probably that didn't happen. But I guess I have to say, how do you know that? Even though in their heart, they're like, that just seems crazy. And then Donald Trump said something very close to this. He said something along the lines of, it's true, and we all know it's true, and people are saying it, and we've been reading it. Is it true? We don't know. We just read these things, and we don't know. And I'm saying we have to get out there and look. And so I'm going to look. We're all looking. We're all trying to find out the truth. I'm going to get back to you. I'm going to get back to you and tell you what that is. That's actually 4 or 5 different positions in a sentence. And it ends with him offering to do fact checking for the reporter who asked him the question, turning everything on its head. He's really good at this.
Do you do any misdirection like that as a performer when I'm watching you?
That's all performance is misdirection. Of course I do. I mean, every moment of every performance has a degree of misdirection. And the thing that we have to remember is that that's actually why we come. Like, people like the magician's trick because they do not know how it is done. If they truly wanted to know how it was done, they would dissect it.
You once did a show about your trip to Apple's iPhone factory in China, and you got caught making up some of those details. Do you understand Trump because you're both liars?
Do you really think dramatizing, like, one's story on This American Life, or actually in a play that then This American Life decides to air, is, like, equivalent to Donald Trump?
Absolutely not.
Okay, I just thought I'd ask. It's a provocative question, but I mean...
Yeah, well, it's a theatrical question.
I was just going to say, it's almost as though this is, in fact, a theater of one would ask the thing that would create the provocative situation, then create thing. And then people might say, as they hear the answer, they might say, that's good radio. And I would argue that that is, in fact, theater. I am not very much like Donald Trump, you know. And if dramatizing personal details in a story about my trip to a factory that then absolutely factually covered the damaging and horrendous human rights conditions are there, if that is being a liar, then I'm a liar. I know today that those workers make more money every hour because of work I helped contribute to. So I live with that. Perhaps Donald Trump has deals he makes with himself in his own life that are similar. It's hard to say. And I dream of a world where people might apply as much rigor as they have to me to Donald Trump. I just dream of a world where Donald Trump gets to answer questions as hard-edged as that. I think that was a harder question for me than I have yet seen Donald Trump be asked. So I'm waiting to see someone get it as hard as I got it.
You say Donald Trump has hacked journalism.
Yeah.
What does that mean to you?
That means that when Donald Trump says something, that Syrian example is perfect. He asserts that the Syrians have weapons because Hillary gave them to him. The journalist who's asking the questions knows in their heart that this is not true, because if that was true, Donald Trump would have had to read it somewhere, and this would be big news. So unless he has like a personal security force in Syria investigating things, he has just made up something. But he is not allowed to say, by the rules of currently constructed journalism, what are you talking about? He's not allowed to turn off his mic. He's not allowed to be like, get out of my studio. He can't do that. So he has to say, how do you know that? And at that point, Donald Trump gives that complex answer that I just gave you, which ends with, I'm going to get back to you. Donald Trump is not going to come back and be like, you know, I figured out where I read that thing about the Syrians getting the weapons. He never calls him again. And the journalist knows that he's not going to call him. The reason it's hacking is the journalist feels like their hands are tied as they watch him walk right past them.
So if politicians get more like Trump, journalism needs to change?
Well, I'm not a journalist. I mean, first to tell you that you may be surprised to know that I'm actually a performer. But, you know, there's a dream in America of the dream of objective journalism. There's this dream that I think was born out of there being networks and there being anchors and really impressive older white men who tell you what the world is. I think the first step is accepting that that was always a fantasy that wasn't actually true. And then once you take the gloves off for that, it enables you more accurately to call a spade, because you're expecting there to be multiple different types of journalists covering things from different angles. So if your journalism actually happens to have a point of view, it's not the end of the world, because other journalists will cover it from other points of view.
Should we think about journalism and politics more like theater? Understand theater better?
Oh, God, yes. I mean, the problem is politics is theater, and the fact that Americans don't spend a lot of time thinking about theater actively hobbles them in understanding what's going on, especially in a situation where someone like Trump, who is a performer at heart, instinctively is taking advantage of the naivete of not understanding how theater works.
Well, then let's talk about our responsibility as audience. What do we need to do better?
The same thing everyone should have been doing for a long time, which is to take in multiple different points of view and then lay them on top of each other and examine them next to each other to determine what they do. To be perfectly honest, I think the majority of people in audiences are doing a better job of adapting to the current situation than journalism is, which makes sense. People are always, audiences are very smart.
It's not that all Trump supporters are dupes.
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, one of the things I think is very central to understanding, and the things that's very hard for Americans to understand, is how performance is part of everything. For example, journalists have been fact-checking Donald Trump, and it comes up, you know, poorly for him. Like, they're like, "All this is all not true. You say so many things that are not true." And they tell the American people, and then people seem to not care. And then they actually poll them specifically to say, do you care if Donald Trump is lying? And many of the polls come back and say, no, we don't care. And journalists can draw a conclusion from this, that what it means is that people just love to be lied to. But that's not true. People hate to be lied to. What's happening is these people understand that Donald Trump is a performer. So when Donald Trump says something and it's full of untruths, what they actually say to themselves is, oh, there goes Donald Trump again saying those things he says. And they don't believe him. They don't believe him ever. They're listening to him and amused by him, but they don't believe him. And the reason that they're willing then to go along with him is because they don't know that they believe in government at all. And that's the failure from both sides of the aisle of our government in the last 30 years. It's like a lot of his power base is from parts of the country and people who feel left behind. by the government and from different directions. You know, people who are susceptible to feeling like our government doesn't do anything for them, whether it's true or not that it does, they feel that way. And as a consequence, if you don't think the government does anything important and it doesn't matter who's running it, then someone who's a performer, at least they amuse you. And you also might start to think, you know, he's a provocative person. He's interesting. He keeps me listening. Like, maybe he has a good idea. I don't know. And the next thing you know, they're pulling the lever for his side. A lot less of it is this idea that they're just fools, that one day they'll realize that Donald Trump was lying to them. They realize it today. Many of them realize it right away. They're very smart. The audience is always very smart. They just want to be fooled. Like, they enjoy this performance.
Would you prefer it then if there were a liberal version of Donald Trump? A liberal id, liberal lies, but we're all in the theater together and we know that politician doesn't mean everything they say, but I'm going to pick the liberal entertainer or the conservative entertainer. Would that be a better world?
No, because what needs to happen is that everyone is already embedded in a performance. Like, the act of politics is theater. So recognizing that you're in a theater of this interaction between the audience and yourself, the podium and the crowd, actually understanding that that is your art form, that is actually how you're communicating, is actually how you reform it. Like, if you recognize that's what's happening, then you can start to create a sense of the idea that there are ground rules about the things that we're going to say. You know, it gives you the tools to call someone out who is blatantly breaking those rules, breaking that trust with their audience. You know, it gives you the tools to maybe survive a debate. You know, I, for one, am very concerned about any politician, but in this case, Hillary, walking into a debate with Donald Trump, because I watched all the debates he's had before and he's finished off a number of his opponents. And it's not because he's smarter than them. It's because he's very present in the room and he's able to read social cues, and because he's playing it like theater. You don't have to compete with that by lying, and you don't have to not have policy positions or ideas. You just need to actually be present like a human being. You have to be able to perform.
I ask because in your show, a character says, more Trumps are coming and they're going to do it better than this one did. This one might lose, but there's more to come.
Well, I definitely think that's true. Like, the next person doesn't have to reinvent how Trump built a power base. They will just have to refine on what's been done. The same way that Nixon built on Wallace. Someone can actually just look at this and say, all right, I'll be just like Donald Trump. I'll rouse these same nationalist fervors, but I'll be a little sharper. I'll seem a little more establishment, and I'll hew a little closer to the center. That's obviously coming. And so the things that have started here are not about to stop.
Is it just as likely to be a Democratic demagogue as a Republican?
No, it's not. It's more likely to be somebody, that's where the bridge has been built, is on the right. So no, it's not. It's not as likely at all.
Mike Dazy's new show is called The Trump Card, and you can see it tomorrow night at Seattle's Neptune Theater.